Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now, families who need access to their children's spinal surgeries continue to experience long waiting times, cancelled operations and concerns over the impact that this is having on their children. And Brian O'Connell spoke to one family who are experiencing delays in accessing surgery for their son. And Brian got an update on where things stand now on government commitments to tackle this area. And Brian is with us. Good morning, Brian.
Claire.
So tell us about Noah. Noah Quish.
Noah is seven. He's from Limerick. He's one of 270 children waiting on vital spinal surgery, and like many, unfortunately, he's been on a waiting list for far longer than he should have been. The curve in Noah's spine, first diagnosed 5 years ago, it's impacting some of his vital organs. He has complex health issues as well. So already in recent months, he has had several surgeries cancelled, and the effect on this, as you can imagine, is each time his family get their hopes up, they talk to him about having his surgery, and then their hopes are dashed at short notice. Now, Noah's mum, Una, began telling me after several cancelled surgeries, they've now been given a separate date for Noah's surgery.
So at the moment, he's waiting on spinal surgery, which we do have a date for, provisional date for the 15th of April. So he would have been cancelled a few times over the last few months. Back in December, it was due to Noah himself. He had complications due to brain surgery, so he wasn't fit for surgery. Then there was a few dates recently where it was cancelled. Just maybe 2 weeks ago, another date was cancelled because I questioned if there'd be a neurosurgeon in the theatre when he was having his surgery done.
Just to go back a little bit, how long is Noah waiting for surgery, and what is the kind of surgery he's waiting for, and why does he need it?
Well, I suppose it is going back a few years that he's needed spinal surgery, but Noah also has a Chiari malformation, which is kind of like a bone at the back of his head going down into his spinal cord area. So they could never do the spinal surgery until his brain surgery was done first. So once that went ahead, then we were starting to get dates for his spinal surgery. He's waiting to have rods put into his spine because he has severe scoliosis with like severe rotation as well.
Because the scoliosis, as we know, can impact significantly on vital organs if it isn't arrested.
Like, he vomits a lot, and we don't know if it's because it's pressing on his stomach. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on at the moment. He actually has swollen knees. That's from the scoliosis. It's like bursitis of the knees. Mm-hmm. One leg shorter than the other. And he has hip dysplasia as well. So all that is coming from the spine and the rotation of it.
I mean, there's been a lot of focus on this issue for a number of years, and obviously in the past year mm-hmm. and a half, particular focus. What's been your experience in the past, say, year?
Just all the cancellations, I think, is very unfair because you get so prepped and there's so much to organise, like with surgery. And sure, then you've spoke to Noah as well to kind of prep him for it as well.
Are parents being listened to now?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think every time, I would have never had a voice until I went public. And I just think going public is the only way. And it's awful, really, because you feel really bad because you're not slating the doctors and the surgeons like they're all brilliant. It's more like the government and the fact that they hate the waiting lists. And then the fact that if kids are left waiting and then you have a backlog, it's not good enough, really.
Brian, there was talk at one stage of families being able to access treatment abroad or even to get a second opinion from medics outside of Ireland. Was that an option for Noah?
Well, this is something that has been put forward. It's often signalled by government as one solution, possibly for some families. Several years ago, when this issue came up, there was a plan to try and access treatments in Germany, for example. There was quite low take up of this, and there have been commitments again since last year, which I'll come back to. I did ask Una about whether seeking treatment abroad was an option for their family.
It's not as easy as it sounds. And I know everyone was like, oh, go abroad, and it wasn't about the money. Like, I know it's going to cost money as well, but it wasn't even about that. It's just the fact that if I went abroad with Noah, they're focusing on his spine when he has a whole load of mm-hmm. problems. He's very complex. It was just the fact that you could be stranded over there. I was warned that that could happen.
How's Noah doing?
He's doing good, considering. Yeah, he's suffering since Christmas, I suppose. It's the first time he's ever really complained of pain. But mm-hmm. when we had a meeting last week, they did say that he was gone stiff. And they've never said that before. They said at Christmas, actually, that he was fine and flexible. It has got to him now, all right. There's days where he can't bend down to pick things up off the floor. A lot of the time he's saying he's sore, that his back is sore. He can't walk too far. He needs to be lifted. or he'll start, and he vomits a lot if he gets excited or on exertion and stuff. So, but other than that, like, he is a bubbly little boy.
We know we've been building, and we're soon to be completed, the most expensive children's hospital in the world. Do you think that will make a difference?
Are they going to start hiring more surgeons? And I do think they definitely need more resources and staff, because it's never going to work if there isn't a range of surgeons available for when somebody is out, that there's someone else to take over.
I would imagine for you, you want to get to a point where you're not having to go public in order to get essential healthcare for your son.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it would be great if it's just plain sailing, and like, we all understand that if there's emergency, then there's cancellations, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But cancelling all the time is very frustrating, and especially when you're looking at your child and they're not the same, because they're suffering and it's affecting their daily routine and things like that. So, like, it's very unfair on the family and the little fella that's suffering as well.
So we wish Noah well on the 15th of April, Claire, when hopefully he'll have his spinal surgery. But as you heard, accessing treatment abroad, it's not something Noah's family think would work for him. He has a multitude of health complications. It has been put forward, as I said, as a solution for some families. But at the very least, some now want clinicians from outside of Ireland to review their patient files. In a reply to me last October, the Department of Health told me the minister supported the request for a second medical opinion, and I was told back then he had asked the HSE to facilitate this. Now advocacy groups say external second opinions are not being offered or funded as a general practice, and this is something that they want.
Now, you asked the department about this, Brian.
Well, they told me requests for second opinions have been facilitated for all children in the original group of patients who are in this external review that's taken place. That would include two families that requested a referral as well, and it necessitates referrals outside of the country being facilitated. Any other patients and families who wouldn't be in that group that are being looked at by this external review, they will be facilitated within the public system for a second opinion. The decision then to seek an additional opinion for any patients, it's clinically informed, it will be facilitated, they say, on a case-by-case basis.
And then separately, you've advocacy groups have some questions to ask about the data that Children's Health Ireland is publishing around these waiting lists and the times for the spinal surgeries.
Well, I spoke last week with Claire Cahill from the Scoliosis Advocacy Network, and at that point, towards the end of the week, she wasn't happy, Claire, at some of the ways data has been presented, and they say it's a lack of full information that's been published around waiting times, but how long it takes to get initial appointments. She highlighted this and where things stand now with this external report that's happening into children's spinal care.
In February of this year, CHI removed some waitlist data from their website, and this has led to confusion and doubt for parents. The collection and sharing of data is a basic in planning services, and when this cannot be got right, really alarm bells start to ring. They cannot tell us how many children are currently waiting on a first assessment for scoliosis. They say they do not collect this data. We have requested that all data that is now shared is inclusive of time bands. So as such, a figure of the number of children waiting isn't good enough. We need to know how long each child is waiting. And our colleagues in the Spina Bifida Hydrocephalus Parent Advocacy Group have also requested that their children who are waiting is shared, and they feel this should not be a problem, as there has been a data manager funded for spina bifida in CHI. As an advocacy group, we're very concerned in the removal of the spine register from CHI's website. A spinal register as such is a collection of information in terms of spinal surgeries and outcomes. It can help to be a early warning system. We believe that this was active. We know parents had fed some data into it, and it was just removed completely. We had notification from the National Patient Safety Office saying that it is not active. And we would see this as a huge failure, you know, in terms of our children's safety. The ongoing review, which has been undertaken by Mr. Nyagam in CHI, in our opinion, is much too narrow in its focus. To date, we've had no interim reports. There's been no actions. We anticipate heavily redacted report, obviously with recommendations and guidelines. But you know, in past, we've seen how the Ombudsman's reports, recommendations have not been implemented to the fullest.
So that's Claire Cahill there. And you have all opposition politicians who've also been calling, Brian, for more data around the waiting list for spinal surgeries to be published.
Sinn Féin's health spokesperson, David Cullinan, said CHI should resume publishing their waiting list data every 2 weeks. And he said they should state how many people are waiting longer than Sláintecare targets and how many are waiting multiple years for treatment.
So you asked the CHI and the Department of Health about it?
Well, the data Claire Cahill is looking for was being updated, they told me, and the overall figures, the numbers waiting, was published last Friday. But they now plan to publish this the first week of every month. So before, as I said, it was every fortnight. I asked them, why don't they publish waiting times? They said waiting list figures are available and they're on the NTPF website. But this would include both spinal and non-spinal orthopaedic surgery data combined. That's not what the advocacy groups are looking for. They say as the number of patients is less than five in many waiting time bands, they can't release this information to protect patient confidentiality. Now, I went back to David Cullinan with this and he said it's not acceptable. He wants CHI to engage with all the advocacy groups to assess what information should or should not be published.
Now, Claire Cahill did mention that external review, which is ongoing, and you did get an update on when we can expect to hear about the findings.
Yes, the department told me, or actually the HSE press office told me, this independent review is progressing well. They expect the report from the first phase of the review will be completed and submitted by the end of May. The final report, the anticipation at this point is that the full review could be included by the end of the summer. I did ask the HSE if any more cases had been added to the review compared to what they were looking at the outset. They wouldn't be drawn on that. All they would say was that it wasn't appropriate to comment on the details of those selected in this external review. They said a range of patients are included, and because of GDPR legislation, these patients were written to and they were told that they'd be now included in this process.
Brian, thank you very much. That's Brian O'Connell reporting there. Coming up next, could obesity in middle age be linked to genetics?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.